The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability. I'm back in the broadcast bunker for a bit this morning. I'll be hitting the road again after the show, but we've got a great farmer forum for you today. These two guys have faced some really tough challenges this year, but they're great examples of what farmers do. Keep chugging along and do what you can.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Representative Ron Kind from Wisconsin. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Rock Ketchnig and Jim Gibbon. And right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from AgPro Magazine. From Pro Farmers' Caverns of Cognition, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Appreciate that. It's good to be back. The trip back from Worthington, Minnesota yesterday was was short, but it was still pretty revealing on the crop conditions that we saw along I-90. We saw some guys out in the field using iron to control weeds yesterday. So I'm happy to report that on July 23rd, the southern Minnesota fields are finally fit for tillage.
All right. Wow.
Yeah. It only took until July 23rd to get there.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there was a little bit of dust flying yesterday. So guys are out there trying to do their weed control and on prevent plant acres and doing what they can. And, you know, that's kind of going to be the conversation that we have with Rock and with Jim today. Rock over in a very wet area of Illinois. Jim in a very wet area of South Dakota, but they're chugging along and doing what they can. So it'll be interesting to hear what they're doing.
And if I know you, your trip back was probably tinged with just a little bit of sadness and leaving the good folks at Wiffles Hybrids and the good farmers up there in Minnesota. Am I right? Did you get a little emotional?
A little emotional? No, I was okay. I was okay. I felt like we delivered the goods and had a great show yesterday afternoon before we left with Matt Widboom and Dan Utek. Talking about the flow of corn and soybeans. But we spent quite a bit of time talking about the cash markets, and I love talking about the cash markets.
Oh, for sure.
When we get into some of those, when I get on the road, I like to talk about the cash market in that area. So there they are up there in southwest Minnesota dealing with a positive basis on corn. I believe he said 7 cents. Pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll take that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Bud, what's in the news?
Well, Chip, USDA Secretary Senator Perdue told reporters, quote, "We will have information for you before the week ends." That's in regards to the second round of market facilitation payments offered to farmers to help mitigate financial stress related to the trade war with China. The $16 billion plan includes $14.5 billion dedicated to direct payments to eligible farmers and $1.4 billion for commodity purchases. The measure also includes $100 million for overseas market development. Yeah. Now, Perdue also noted USDA's $3 billion disaster aid program will open next month, saying open enrollment to impacted farmers and ranchers will begin in late August or early September. Chip?
Okay, yeah, on the MFP payments, we're so close to the details now. Maybe you were exactly right yesterday, Davis, when you thought that first $15, the minimum $15, would represent 50% of the ultimate payment, which in that case, if it is $15, those counties would be getting $30 total through three payments. That could be right. Or I still think there's a chance that some counties out there are going to see a total payment as low as $15. But we are close enough now. Let's just wait for the details.
Hang on a little longer. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, in a related note, the new dairy margin coverage program has enrolled more than 13,000 operations, according to USDA. Wow. Nearly one-third of enrollments are in Wisconsin, accounting for $41 million of the total $145 million in payments thus far.
Good program.
And the, The annual Wheat Quality Council Spring Wheat Tour found solid yield potential, with day one of the three-day tour calculating an average potential yield of 43.1 bushels per acre. That's a decent increase from last year's day one results of 38.9 bushels per acre. Traveling through North Dakota and Minnesota, Tour Executive Vice President Dave Green said, quote, "This is really good wheat for out here. I think everything looks good for being so late."
Good, good.
Yeah. You betcha.
Yeah, more importantly is going to be the quality of that crop. I think everybody realizes that if we've got a high protein crop coming out of the northern plains, we're going to find a home for it someplace, either domestically or around the world.
Right, right. Well, negotiators from the United States and China will meet next week in Shanghai to continue working toward a resolution of the ongoing trade war. U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin say they have been urging their Chinese counterparts to make good on the promised U.S. ag goods purchases. Now, earlier this week, we reported some Chinese companies are asking for exemptions, suggesting some measure of purchases may be imminent. According to a Reuters report, Chinese officials say soybean crushers could apply for the exemptions for cargoes of soybeans for delivery before the end of September. Chip, you mentioned you've got a note on this.
Yeah, exactly. And this is according to a Bloomberg report this morning. It says the Chinese government has given the go-ahead for five companies to buy up to 3 million tons of U.S. soybeans free of the retaliatory import tariffs as trade negotiations between the two nations continue. Okay. So some of those waivers on the tariffs have been issued.
Mm-hmm. Well, meanwhile, Congress is poised to ban the use of federal funds to purchase Chinese buses and rail cars. Proponents of the measure say the ban is necessary to protect American manufacturers from subsidized Chinese competition and from potential surveillance devices that may be installed in the vessels. That's a little creepy, Chip.
Yes. Yeah, it is a little creepy. That's part of the reason we're doing what we're doing. There's a lot of things kind of creepy in dealing with China.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Echelkamp, editor of Ag Pro. Margie, how are you doing this morning?
Doing okay, Chip.
Good. You know, the trends are pretty clear in ag retail. I think technology is driving actions, and a lot of those actions are in mergers, right?
Yeah, and I wanted to highlight just three examples this morning that are both related to technology and business consolidation. We have ag retailers who are renting robots. Wilbur Ellis in the Salinas Valley of California is providing a new service where farmers can contract to use their automated thinners. So these are used in lettuce crops and use artificial intelligence to identify plants for precise herbicide identification. You know, we have our friends at GrowMark, and they have an expansive footprint across 20 states where they've launched Ag Validity, where they're testing more than 20 products this year and evaluating on how they could be a best fit for farms, but as well as how they fit in their distribution network. Now, also, we talk about business consolidation, another mega trend affecting ag retail. Yep. CoBank reports that co-ops continue their consolidation. In its latest report, they detail that 70 co-ops are consolidated annually on average between 2007 and 2017. During the current economic downturn, the pace of co-op consolidation has actually quickened, averaging 4% annually, whereas back in 2011, it was 1.2%.
Wow, but 70 sounds, I mean, when you hear the raw number, 70 sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lot of changes in ag retail and a lot of ways that ag retailers are being more offensive with new products and services. And I would highlight that CoBank report details how consolidation has actually led co-ops to provide more advanced products and services for their changing farmer demographics.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, Margie, we're going to talk with Michael Ott, the CEO of Ranzito, tomorrow on the show about they're going to be applying chemical with drones.
Right. They're the first company with an approved FAA application in Iowa. So have a great conversation with Michael.
Thank you. We've got Congressman Ron Kind up next. With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about pre-season planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture.
Wiffles Hybrids invites you to imagine that you're buying a new car. Are you more likely to get a nicer car if you buy it from a potato chip company that also makes cars, B, a pain cream company that for some reason also makes cars, or C, a car company? Did you pick C? Of course you did. Now just apply the same logic the next time you purchase seed corn. Wiffles Hybrids, seed corn, and nothing else.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Hey, Davis.
Yeah.
Mentioned that I'm back in the studio for just a short period of time. Going to be on the road this afternoon, heading out to Washington, D.C. Going to have a conversation with Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, who obviously a regular here on AgriTalk. But we're going to go through a couple of planning sessions. And then on Friday, we're going to be right down on the mall broadcasting both shows. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a great time in Washington, D.C.
Because tomorrow you're broadcasting out of Jim Wiesmeyer's own broadcast bunker. Is that right?
That's right.
Do I have that right in my notes?
That's exactly right. The D.C. branch of the Pro Farmer Brain Bunker.
Is
where I'm going to be.
Okay.
So let's head out to D.C. right now. We've got Congressman Ron Kind from Wisconsin on the line with us. Congressman Kind represents the 3rd District of Wisconsin. Congressman, thank you so much for making time for us today. Are you there, Congressman? Might have a little bit of a problem.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, might have a little bit of a problem there with the congressman. We'll see if we can get him back on there here in just a second. But one of the things that is going on right now, and Davis, we've been talking about it quite a bit, trying to figure out exactly what is going on with USMCA. It's one of the things that I want to ask the Representative Kind about and find out what we've been asking the question for so long, haven't we, about what is the holdup in getting that vote to the floor?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like every time, the longer we ask the question, the closer we are to getting a legitimate answer.
Right.
I think the legitimate answer here is that the politics and not wanting to give one side or the other a political win. And I'm not saying that it's the Democrat Party wanting to withhold that win from President Trump and the Republican Party. Because as soon as you say that, I can point to a dozen different examples of the Republican Party trying to withhold a win from the Democrats.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we need to put politics aside, and that's one of the things that I want to get to with the congressman is if we can find a way to put politics aside, because, you know, Corn Congress was last week, right?
Yeah.
The National Corn Growers Association had, what, like 500 representatives in there knocking on doors and talking with congressmen.
Mm-hmm.
I got to believe that they talked to them all.
I would
or
think
as
so.
Many as they possibly could. And telling the story about USMCA. And when we talked with Kevin Ross, first VP of the NCGA last week, he was reporting that everybody says, hey, yeah, this is something that we're in favor of. It doesn't matter if they're in an urban district or a rural district. They want USMCA to get done. So that begs the question, what's the dadgum holdup? Let's get this done. Now, not only do I see USMCA as a good agreement for agriculture, and I'll admit I haven't looked at all of it. All of the language, but gone over a fair amount of it for agriculture, and it seems like an agreement that we should be able to live with. Okay, so that it's just a question of how we get to the end zone here, and that's one of the things we want to talk to him about. Let's bring him
Looks
in
like
right we've now.
Him.
We've got Congressman Ron Kind from the 3rd District of Wisconsin. Congressman, thanks so much for making time. I know it's a busy day.
Hey, my pleasure, Chip. Sorry I'm a little bit late. I got tied up in a meeting, but hopefully we still have a little time to chat.
No, I'm glad. Yes, we do, and I'm glad you were tied up in a meeting. It means we're trying to get something done out there, Congressman.
Yeah,
that's good
exactly.
news.
We need more progress, less fighting, more progress, I say.
Amen, amen. I was in front of a group of farmers yesterday, and when it comes to these comments about China being ready to or being willing to purchase significant amounts of U.S. goods, I said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But in this case, fool me 5, 6, 7 times. It seems like somebody's trying to cover something up, Congressman. What is going on?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out, Chip. Obviously, when the president, after he came back from the G20, made this big announcement that caught all our attention that China has agreed to start repurchasing a lot of our agriculture products, a large agricultural purchase, he said. And then we asked then, what does he mean? We followed up with the White House, with USTR office, the Trade Representative's office. No one could give us any answer. And now it's been weeks since then, so I just did a formal letter to them asking for clarification. And the point is this, Chip. I mean, yes, China's been cheating, and we ought to collectively around the globe be standing up to them and saying we're not going to tolerate this anymore. But these endless trade wars, and it's not just with China, it's with virtually everyone around the globe, including our closest friends and allies, is merely inviting retaliation, which is harming our farmers right now at the worst possible moment with low commodity prices, and it's hurting our ability to gain greater access share and in the global marketplace. So when the president makes a comment like that, I would hope it's based on fact and not fiction, not something that he knows that rural America wants to hear, but there is no truth behind it. There's a lot of damage being done in Wisconsin alone. I mean, we're losing close to 3 dairy farms a day going into bankruptcy. that follows last year, it was two a day. It's unprecedented. And the longer these trade wars
continue. Will passage of USMCA help improve that situation for your dairies in Wisconsin?
Well, not a lot. There was some progress with Canada on Class 7 milk, which was good. I was really pushing hard for that. But basically, we're going to get under USMCA the same tariff rates that we had under the old NAFTA. The worst thing that could happen is if the president blows up the entire NAFTA trade deal, because then tariffs snap back to 45%. That would be devastating for our farmers. But USMCA protects those current tariff rates that we already enjoy under NAFTA, which is important to maintain. There are other aspects of NAFTA that I think is an improvement. I mean, USMCA, which I think improves on the old agreement, which I think is worthy then for us to be able to move forward in advance. But as far as greater market access is concerned, virtually none in Mexico, because we're already at zero with them under the old NAFTA. We want to maintain that. And there was, you know, some incremental progress with Canada, with dairy and with poultry in particular, but not revolutionary. But nonetheless, we're working hard, trying to find a way to get USMCA teed up for a strong bipartisan support and passage, because it's important for us to maintain a strong trading relationship with our two border neighbors.
Yeah. Congressman, I made mention of this before we got on the air with you, that it seems like everybody that has an opportunity to talk with the representatives comes away from it saying, you know, they say that they support USMCA. We just can't get it to the floor for a vote. What is the holdup?
Well, the holdup is a couple of things. One is the enforceability provisions. We have to make sure that what is agreed to can ultimately be enforced. And right now there's some weak language in it that would merely give the president sole discretion to impose tariffs on either Canada or Mexico when he feels they're not in compliance, which I think would be irresponsible. I think he's shown that he has not been responsible with the use of 232 or 301 authority that was given to him. He's been indiscriminate in the tariff war that he admits that he's addicted to, regardless of the retaliation and the consequences back home. So one of the things we're trying to clean up is make sure that in the past, where there was some panel blocking to resolve disputes, no longer exist under the new agreement. So we've been in discussion with Bob Lighthizer, our trade rep, on that. And quite frankly, I think if they just took the enforcement provisions that was in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement and airdropped it into USMCA, the problem would go away. It would be wide agreement that that's the best approach. So we want to make sure that if it's a good agreement, it's an agreement that can be enforced the right way, and not just relying on a 5 a.m. tweet by the president because of some subjective feeling that he has. And I think that would only invite another trade war with retaliation if that's all he does.
Right. I want to give you just a touch of news. Go back to China here, and this has just been reported by Bloomberg. So, but it says the Chinese government has given the go-ahead for five companies to buy up to 3 million tons of U.S. soybeans free of retaliatory import tariffs. So Bloomberg is reporting that there is some progress there, but I'm going to go all Ronald Reagan on you and say, okay, that's good news, but let's verify it later.
Yeah, you know, I'm discouraged that we're having to get the news from Bloomberg after so many repeated requests to the White House and the USTR office that ought to be working hand in glove with Congress on this, that we're finding out through a news media source of what's happening. And that's frustrating because, listen, when it comes to trade policy, there's got to be a strong, working, trustful relationship between Congress and the administration. Congress, after all, has constitutional obligation on trade. Throughout the years, we've been delegating that authority to administration so they can go out and negotiate on our behalf. But ultimately, it comes back to Congress for approval again. So they need to work on their PR skills and working with us in Congress who want to be helpful. I mean, we want to share the goal of expanding market access and making sure that everyone is playing by the same rules, and we're leveling the playing field for our farmers, ranchers, workers, and businesses. I mean, that should be a shared goal.
Congressman, literally 15 seconds on this. Would you be in favor of an ag and auto agreement with Japan?
I would if it means increased market access so we don't continue to lose more market share to other countries, which is happening right now.
Amen to that. Thank you, Congressman, for stepping out.
My pleasure, guys.
We really appreciate it. That is Congressman Ron Kind from the 3rd District of Wisconsin. We're going to have the Farmer Forum next right here on AgriTalk.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. and software to run geospatial analysis, and a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment, and a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment, and an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, we've got some strength going in the soy complex and in the wheat market today. That's some good news.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, on the soybeans, it's a little bit of a surprise, I guess. We did have a cancellation of sales this morning to unknown destinations, 100,000 tons there. So, negative demand news, and yet here the soybean market is about 8 cents higher mid-morning. Like I said, I think that's a positive. Probably getting a little bit of, ground or gaining a little bit of ground out of the fact that the U.S. is going to send trade negotiators to China next week. So that's a positive, I guess. Although I don't think that anybody really anticipates that there will be a short-term end to the trade war negotiations, whatever you want to call them.
You know, I'm not all that surprised by the pop in beans, but this move in wheat is impressive to me. And I guess also impressive is the lack of willingness of corn to come along with wheat.
Yeah, and I guess that you're right. I mean, this is in the face of harvest and seasonal pressure and all that and wheat. So that is somewhat of a surprise. On the corn side of things, you know, we did get a strong close yesterday, decent follow-through buying in the overnight session. But once we got to daytime trade here, the buyer interest has really dried up. So just kind of waiting to see what the weather forecast is, I think. It's been a relatively favorable early part of this week, but the heat's expected to return late this week and into the next week. So I guess the forecast is what's being watched right now.
Yeah, no question about it. That's going to have a major impact on price action. Got some mixed trade going in lean hogs. Live cattle are trading slightly higher, and feeder cattle mostly higher this morning. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Machinery Pete's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerypete.com/auction.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Again, thank you to Ron Kind, Congressman Ron Kind from Wisconsin, for stepping out of a meeting, come have a conversation with us. Appreciate that a lot.
Lots going on up on the Hill today.
That's right. And they are trying to make, and including the Mueller.
Interesting. Testimony. I went to, minding my own business, sipping my coffee this morning, went to flip on the network news that I watch every morning, and they had jumped straight to live coverage of it.
Yeah.
They skipped the news and just went straight to that. And my wife came up and said, "Are we still talking about this?"
Yes, we are.
I said, "Yes, we are." Yeah, that's where we are.
No doubt. And I appreciate what Congressman Kine said about USMCA.
Absolutely.
And coming from Wisconsin, and he kind of drilled a little bit deeper into it than what we have in the past when it comes to the dairy side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some advancements made. And because there were some advancements made in opening up access for U.S. dairy products into Canada, I was just under the, okay, well, that's a good thing. Let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
His was, yes, it's a good thing, but it could have been better. It doesn't mean that he's against it. Doesn't mean that he's against it. It's just that it's a better agreement than what we had fallen to, but let's not get all excited that this is going to cure all the problems that we've got with the dairy industry going in the U.S.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right, let's get this Farmer Forum started. We've got Rock Ketchnig from Illinois on the line. Rock, how are you this morning? It's good to talk with you again, buddy.
Yes, sir. Nice to listen to you yesterday, Chip. Real dry and solemn here in northwestern Illinois.
See, and you and I probably 3-4 weeks ago, we halfway joked about it, that growers in your area were going to have to deal with going from too wet, didn't get everything in the ground, not proud of the job that you did of planting it, and then we were going to transition to, you know what? Yeah, it was too wet earlier, but now it's too dry and we could sure use rain. And people were going to throw their hands in the air over this whole situation and say, it can't be satisfied. But the reality is what you're talking about, Rock.
Yeah, this is an event we've never seen to this magnitude before. The Prevent Plant Acres in this area are just shocking. There's a retail supplier of fertilizer herbicide not far from us, and I heard a number yesterday that they lost 30,000 acres in this small little community. They lost 30,000 acres to Prevent Plant.
Yeah. Up in Worthington yesterday, they were talking about 28. Well, and that's up in Jim Gibbons' area. It's east of Jim, of course, because Jim's in South Dakota. But Jim Gibbons joins us on the Farmer Forum this morning, too. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Chip.
Yeah. So I was in Worthington yesterday, Jim, and they said in a four-county area up there, 28,000 tons of oats used for cover crop seeding. I mean, that's a lot of oats going out the door. 215,000 acres in four counties of Prevent Plant. And you're dealing with Prevent Plant up in your area as well, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. In fact, Lincoln County, where I'm located, and, you know, we're right next to Lyon and Sioux County, Iowa. We have approximately 90,000 acres of Prevent Plant in our county, which probably is the highest we've ever had. And, you know, I know that some of the USDA people have said that they think that it's not uncommon to have 5 million acres Prevent Plant nationwide, but they estimate it'll be up to maybe 12 million acres Prevent Plant nationwide. That's a large number.
Yeah.
And I have some Prevent Plant acres I still haven't been able to get in. It's just too wet. And, you know, guys that have been trying to get oats and things like that, it's getting to be difficult to get. It's just not out there anymore if you see oats.
Right.
So I'm not sure what our next option is anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, look at the different situation that we're dealing with here. Rock has got Prevent Plant. Jim's got Prevent Plant. Rock has turned dry. But, Jim, you've just continued to see those, well, at least leading up to this week, the rains just kind of keep coming for you, don't they?
Yeah, we were real hot with high dew parts like a lot of the nation was last week. We had 1.5 inches of rain last Wednesday, and now we were having sunny and a little wind, cooler temperatures, which is nice. But this is how wet it is. My grandson and I, we went to our my pasture here on Monday took the fishing rods to go out and go fishing. And I tell you, through our creek and stream that went through our pasture, we got stuck with my pickup out in my pasture.
Oh, geez.
But the good thing about it is we caught a half dozen catfish, and I tell you, that was fun. That
See?
Was fun.
Good news. Good news. All right, Jim. Now, some of the fields that we saw along 90 are filthy, just dirty with weeds. But, Rock, have they got that problem under control over in Illinois, or is it still an issue?
Well, yes, yeah, certainly. Certainly. A lot of fields have been sprayed, and they're brown. We're trying to decide whether to spray, till. Some of the fields that had tracks cut in them from last fall, really unlevel, we're leveling those up with a tillage tool. Some of these weeds are so mature, we're not certain if we're going to get them killed, even with a high rate of fertilizer, herbicide. It just gives you so much better feeling in your heart, a field clean and black rather than looking at dead weeds. It's something we've never gone through before.
Yeah. No, and you're exactly right. We talked about this yesterday with the group that dealing with this stuff emotionally, Rock, you guys, I'm not saying that it's a regular event up there in South Dakota for Jim, but Rock, this is a rare event for you guys in Illinois. How are guys doing?
Well, it's just so solemn. People are quiet. Our machinery dealers, our fertilizer suppliers, everyone has the same mood. The only thing you can do is stand back and look. We have our families, we have our homes, we have our outbuildings, and those poor folks and next to the flooding they don't have that option. So anyway, life will go on. You know, we went through tough times in the 80s with those 19% interest rates. We made it through that. We'll make it through this, but it's sure something to try to deal with on a daily basis, that's for sure. We're so dry right now that we're not going to have much foot and bends in this area if we don't get some rain real soon. The light ground, we got planted early and felt good about. Now it's all burning up and dying. I sent actually some pictures there. It's pretty wild the way we're losing this crop here.
Yeah, no, when I saw that picture, Rock, and you've got the leaves fired basically up to where the ear set will be, that's not the recipe for a good yield on the crop that is planted, on the crop that is moving along. It's still facing, it's not like you can anticipate a regular yield off of those acres either.
Well, practically 100% of my friends and people I visit with, no matter where, we just really question, you know, you might say integrity or accuracy about these government reports. I mean, stand back and take a look at it. When you plant 50%, 70% of the corn crop 2 months later than normal, mm-hmm. and, you know, beans, we've got beans around here 8 inches tall. Where do we get these good field conditions or fair field condition reports? We're puzzled.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I get it, and it's a matter of time, I think, Rock, before everything really starts to kick in. And plus, you know, I was looking at shoulder high corn along I-90 in southern Minnesota yesterday, thinking, oh my gosh, we're 10 days away from shooting tassels on this stuff. That's fair at best, but it looks good to excellent. But the timing of it sets it back. Jim, everybody's talking about corn. There's not a lot of conversation about soybeans, but soybeans could end up being a story here on the yield side as well, right, Jim?
Well, I think so. I don't know. I stuck some soybeans in yet on June 14th, and you know, they really look good. I don't know what they'll yield, obviously, but at this particular time, they look good. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, my field's planted and across the road, that person didn't plant, and you kind of wonder, well, who was the smart one here, you know, taking the prevent planters or me planting. And so we'll see what it does. But you know, what's in here does look good.
Okay.
And, you know, like you said, I took that trip from our place through Minnesota and up to northern Wisconsin, where I have a sister, about 10 days ago. And, you know, it's behind, but it looks good. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to do. I think frost will determine this. I know they already predicted the Dakotas and Nebraska probably an earlier than normal frost by some of these climatologists. And that's a worry. But, we'll see. I've got corn tasseling that I planted May 22nd. It looks pretty darn good. But
good.
The field right beside it that I planted June 8th, wow. I don't know.
Did that get ripped up by the wind on Saturday?
Not too bad. Okay. I went out there and looked, and things look real good. I know there were other areas farther west and north that really had some straight wind damage and really knocked the stalks down. I think there were pictures of that on Ag Day and so on. So
right, Rock, did that make that over to you, that strong wind?
No, we didn't have any wind.
Okay,
not in here.
All right, good. Okay, when we come back, we're going to wrap up the conversation about crop conditions and what we think these crops can do as we get into the second half of the growing season. In other words, post-pollination. But we also need to talk a little bit about these MFP payments. What's the expectations there? We've got the details coming tomorrow. We'll cover that next right here on AgriTalk.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is your post harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Dicon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Dicon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Davis?
Yes.
Do you know why we've used that bump twice now?
No. It seems like it keeps popping up.
It does. I'm thinking that she's sending us a message. I'm just not hearing it.
Is it tornado weather?
I don't
know.
I'll get
you and your little dog, too. I'm going the Toto route.
You're just an awful woman. Awful.
No? Did they cut me off the air? And I think we're back. Something happened there technically. Not quite sure what happened. Rock, Jim, are you still with us, boys?
I was scared to death. I was afraid my phone let me down. I was wondering, did I actually hit the kill switch there or something?
I don't know what happened. The FCC finally caught up with us, I think, is what happened.
Yeah, I'm here too. So.
Well... Jim, why don't you pick us up where we left off? So where do we go from here?
Well, I'm not sure. I think we'll have to watch a little bit. Tomorrow will be a big day to find out what we do with these MFP payments, the amount of them, and that type of thing. Yeah. And I'm not sure if am I hearing correctly, $15 per acre? Is that correct?
That's right. That's the minimum amount, and it's, of course, you know, as this whole thing has been, it's unclear as to whether that's a one-time payment, if there will be a number of payments. There was talk of three payments along the way, two payments. I'm not sure. But yeah, right now the number that we're working with is the sort of anomalous $15 figure. Rock does...
Because,
does,
you know, if you kind of figured last year, if you had 50 bushels of the acre beans,
right,
and you got $1.65 a bushel MFP payment, you know, you got about $85 an acre.
Mm-hmm. Which is that, not too shabby.
That was nice. But, yeah, you know, if we're talking one payment of $15, two payments of $15, I don't know. So, I mean, it all helps, but again, it would be a lot nicer if something could be knocked out with a trade deal next week. But wouldn't that be great? We've been saying that for a long, long time, and not too much seems to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Rock, what are your thoughts on this MFP 2.0 thing that they've got coming out here?
The trade deal would be great, but it's not going to help us if we don't have any bushels to sell. Yesterday, mm-hmm. when we heard that $15 number, we almost kind of laughed a little bit.
Right.
If it was 50 or 60, the ink might be pink, but 15, it's going to be bright red. Everybody's numbers are different, but your prevent plant guarantee on soybeans isn't very fancy. A lot of places, times it's not even going to cover your rent you're paying, let alone your crop insurance premium. That's got to come out of that and your herbicide costs.
Right. Chip, yep. Sounds like we've got you back, yep. Buddy.
Yeah.
We were just talking about MFP.
Rock. Yeah. I'm up to speed, I think.
Good.
I think that $15 minimum, that is laughable for most corn and soybean counties. Well, and the commodities that are going to weigh heaviest, at least if we're going to go off of the year ago MFP payments, MFP 1.0, soybeans obviously are going to weigh in the heaviest, but cotton's going to be significant, and so is sorghum. Corn, not so much. But because of the way that they're doing it this year, one flat rate on a county-by-county basis, if you're in an area that is heavy soybean production, your payment is not going to be $15. It's going to be... I still think it's going to be $60 or $70 an acre. And again, we'll get those numbers tomorrow. But that $60 or $70, Rock, that turns it from pink to a little bit darker shade of pink.
Yeah, that's a lot better. That'll pay a lot of bills, and there'll be a lot of suppliers really relieved if they hear mm-hmm. that number. It's going to be a tough time with only a $15 in this country anyway, in our mm-hmm. center.
Yeah, and you guys, I mean, it's... There are people that are trying to make this a simple, put some simple analysis on it, saying, okay, well, if this is the first payment and it's $15 times three, it's $45 an acre. That's not how it's going to work. The payment rate in Rocks County, which is what county, Rock?
Henry County,
Illinois, is going to be different than Jim's payment up in Lincoln County, South Dakota. It just will be. And I don't know if that's fair or not, but it's going to be different. So there's no simple assessment on us, guys. It's difficult. I wish it wasn't. Jim, your good news, I'm going to take it as fishing with the grandson and putting six catfish, channel cat, in the bucket.
That was fun. Yeah. Well,
yes, absolutely. Rock, what's your good news, bud?
We're going to have a lot of time to hunt this fall. We're going to have a lot of time to spend the
street. Dude, I'm coming. I'm coming over there. If you've got a lot of time to hunt, I'm going to find a way to make my way over there. Heck, I might find a way. Me and Davis jump in the truck and go fishing with Jim.
I was going to say, I'm coming with on both.
You go. You're always welcome.
you guys, eat some catfish.
Thank you so much. Eat some catfish. Thank you so much, guys. We'll talk with you again soon.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Jeff. That is Rock Katchnick from Illinois, Jim Gibbon up in South Dakota. Thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Thanks to Margie Eckelkamp and to Representative Ron Kind for joining us today. Come back this afternoon. I'm going to be on the road, but Davis is going to be here along with Joe Baklevic from Standard Grain. And Alan Brugler is going to be joining you guys tomorrow morning. Great show for you. Congressman Glenn G.T. Thompson, new CEO of the U.S. Grains Council, is going to be with me. And then we're going to be talking with Rentizo, CEO Michael Ott. And tomorrow morning, we'll be right here.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Machinery Pete's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Visit machinerypete.com/auction to start bidding now. Find that piece of equipment you've been looking for. Get yourself a great deal. Go to machinerypete.com/auction to see what's for sale. Every piece of equipment sells absolute. This is one auction you can't miss. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerypete.com/auction.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.